Okay, reading from the fifth canto, chapter 24, text 31. Let me get to that point. Should have been saved. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Alright, so we're just going to read the Sanskrit here because it's prose rather than poetry. And then we'll go on to the word-by-word synonyms, translation, which has no purport, and then we'll go on to the next chapter. So text 31. Tato jastat patalai nagaloka patayo vasuke pramuka shanka kunika mahashanka sveta dananjaya dhritarashtra sankha chuda kambalas fatada devadatta dayo mahabhogino mahamarsha nivasante yesham muhavai pancha sapta dasha shata sahasra shirshanam panashu virachita mahamanaihu rochishnava patala vivara timira nikaram sva rochisa vidamante. So you can repeat. Tata adastat. Beneath that planet, Rasatala. Patale. On the planet known as Patala. Nagaloka Patayaha. The masters of the Nagalokas. Vasuki. By Vasuki. Pramukaha. Headed. Shankha. Kulika. Kulika. Mahashankha. Mahashankha. Shveta. Shveta. Dananjaya. Dananjaya. Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra. Shankachuda. Shankachuda. Kambala. Kambala. Ashvatara. Ashvatara. Devadatta. Devadatta. Adyaha. And so on. Mahabhoginaha. Very addicted to material happiness.
Teacher, maybe you gave one.
Oh. Thank you. It'd be hard to eat ginger in the middle of class. Anyway, maybe afterwards. Maha Amarshaha. Greatly envious by nature. Nivasanti. Live. Yesham. Of all of them. Uha. Certainly. Vai. Indeed. Pancha. Five. Sapta. Seven. Dasha. Ten. Shata. 100. Sahasra. 1,000. Shirshanam. Of those possessing hoods. Panasu. On those hoods. Virachitaha. Fixed. Mahamanayaha.
Very valuable gems.
Rochishnava.
Full of effulgence.
Patala Vivara. The caves of the Patala planetary system. Atimirat Nikaram. The mass of darkness. Swarochisa. By the effulgence of their hoods. Vira Manti. Disperse. So translation. Beneath Rasatala is another planetary system known as Patala or Nagaloka, where there are many demoniac serpents, the masters of Nagaloka, such as Shankha, Kunika, Mahashankha, Shveta, Dhananjaya, Dhritarashtra, Shankachuda, Kambala, Ashvatthara, and Devadatta. The chief among them is Vasuki. They are all extremely angry, and they have many, many hoods. Some snakes, 5 hoods, some 7, some 10, others 100, and others 1,000. Phew. These hoods are bedecked with valuable gems, and the light emanating from the gems illuminates the entire planetary system of Bilva Swarga. So thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 24th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Subterranean Heavenly Planets. So there's no purport to this text, but I can mention a few things about these wonderful creatures that are being mentioned here, if that's all right. With all of you, so Om Ganam Timananda Shah Gananjana Shvakaya Chakshur and Minditam. Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. These are Nagas, these are snakes, and they're all the sons of Kadru. Kashyapa, one of the Prajapatis, had many, many wives, and in order to populate the universe, he had different creatures that were his sons and grandsons. And in this particular case, the story in the Mahabharata about Kashyapa and Vinata and Kadru, who were two sisters. Vinata and Kadru, they were two sisters. Okay, we'll tell the story quickly. So Vinata and Kadru were given the choice by Kashyapa that one of you can have 1,000 sons, or the other one can have 2 good sons. So, naturally, the lady would want 1,000 sons. Anyway, so, Kadru, she said, I would like to have 1,000 sons. And Vinata, she said, I want 2 good sons. Okay. So, in this particular case, both of the ladies had eggs that were outside of their bodies. Anyway, somehow or other this occurred. And so, what happened with Vinata, who was mother of 2 good sons, she laid 2 eggs, and she was waiting a long time, and they didn't hatch. And so she thought, you know, let's see what's happening with one of them. She broke one of them open, and there was a half-formed bird who came out, and he was able to fly, and he got very angry at his mother, and he said, you know, you shouldn't have done this, you should have waited the proper amount of time. And then he flew up, and he became the charioteer for the sun god. That's a very interesting story. Anyway, and as he was flying up, he cursed his mother. He said, you know, Mom, because you did the wrong thing, you're going to become the servant of your co-wife, or like that. So, anyway, So then she waited a long time and waited for the other one to hatch. And out of the other one came the famous bird, Garuda. The bird carrying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. And so, then the other wife, Kadru, she gave birth to 100 serpents who came from eggs, actually. And so, anyway. So what happened, there was a competition between the two ladies because they were co-wives. And they made a bet at one particular point. I'm not going to get into the details of the bet. Well, I guess you should. It's not that long a story. Like, there was this horse that came from the churning of the milk ocean. His name was Uchaya Shrava. And they bet. Kadru said, "I bet his tail is black." And Vinata said, "I bet his tail is white." And whoever won the bet would become the master of the other co-wife. And her children, too. So, they had this bet, but actually the tail was white. But what Kadru did, the mother of all the snakes, she said to her little children, you know, little baby snakies, she said, "You cover the tail." And take one of these tissues. You cover the tail of the snake so it's black, because they were black snakes. So they covered the tail of the snake, of the horse. And Kadru won the bet. And so Vinata had to become the servant of Kadru, along with Garuda had to become the servant of Kadru and all the snake brothers. So he was carrying his snake brothers on his back. You know, this is not the best situation when you're a bird to carry snakes on your back. So anyway, he's carrying them on his back. And he was thinking, "I gotta get rid of these guys." So he tried to fly higher and higher so that they would get scorched, where snakes are cold-blooded creatures. And if they get too hot, you know, they die. They're not warm-blooded like human beings. Human beings can regulate their temperature, whereas the snakes can't regulate the temperature. So he flew higher and higher, and anyway, then Kadru, she prayed, and there was rain, so her little snake babies were saved. So Garuda was very upset, having to carry around all these snakes all the time, and he asked the snakes, you know, how can I actually win freedom for myself and my mother? So they said, the only way you can win freedom is to get this amrit, this nectar, which had come out of the churning of the milk ocean. I think most of you know that story. And bring it to us, so we'll become immortal. So Garuda went, and one thing led to another. He was able to get the nectar. And he was able to conquer Indra when he was getting the nectar. I mean, there's stories about how he had to eat an elephant and a tortoise in order to get enough strength. And he had to eat people too. Because Garuda was allowed to eat anything except for Brahmins. That's not allowed. And one time by accident, it's described in the Mahabharata, he swallowed a Brahmin. Because the Brahmin was married to a Malecha. Not a good marriage. So, and he choked and he gave up the Brahmin, and he let the Brahmin and his wife get out. So in any case, so he got the nectar, and he was bringing it back, and Indra said, "Let's make friends. I don't really want these snakes to get this nectar, so let's make a deal. Present the nectar to them, and tell them they have to take a bath before they eat the nectar, or drink the nectar, and in the meantime, I'll steal the nectar back." So Garuda gives the snakes the nectar. He tells them to take a bath. Indra steals the nectar back. Some of the snakes actually are starting to understand that some of the nectar fell on the grass, and they started to lick the grass, and they got split tongues. Anyway, sometimes you say snakes have forked tongues. You know, their tongues go in two directions. So, and then Garuda also got the benediction from Lord Vishnu that he would always be above Lord Vishnu, because Lord Vishnu was very pleased with him, and therefore he always became the flag on Vishnu or Krishna's chariot. And then Krishna Vishnu asked him for benediction. He said, I always want you to be my carrier. So that's how Garuda became the carrier. And that's how the snakes came about. Those are the sons of Kadru. Another story about snakes is that Maharaj Janamanjaya, this is another story from the Mahabharata. Anyway, sorry to tell so many stories about snakes. But anyway, this is what comes to mind. Then Maharaj Janamanjaya, the son of Parikshit Maharaj, and Parikshit Maharaj was killed by a snake. Everybody knows that? Does everyone remember the snake's name? Takshaka. And so he wanted to kill all the snakes. This was his idea. So the snakes had a plan how to stop his snake sacrifice. They thought, we have to give birth somehow or other to a Brahmin snake. And the Brahmins can stop the sacrifice of a king, obviously, because the king listens to all the Brahmins. So there was this Brahmin in the forest. This is a Brahmachari story. Anyway, there's this Brahmin in the forest, his name was Jarakaru, who had taken the vow never to get married. So he was in the forest, happy, go lucky. Didn't have to make money to support his family. He's thinking, Jai, Haribo, Goranga. So anyway, so then what happened is that he came across his forefathers who were suffering. And he asked them, I mean, it was like a metaphorical thing. They were hanging over a well with a rope. The rope was being bitten on by a rat, which represented the suffering that they were undergoing. And he asked his forefathers, forefathers means the people came before him in his family, why are you suffering? And they said, because our descendant is not performing any pinda. Pinda means like when you have children, they perform certain sacrifices to keep you out of from going to hell. That's the benefit of having children. If they do the sacrifice. Of course, the best sacrifice is what? Nobody knows? Hare Krishna, Nama Sankirtan. That's the best yoga. So what happened is that he said, who's your descendant? And they said, you, buddy. And he said, well, I didn't plan on getting married. Because you don't have to be married to do this pinda sacrifice, and you have to have children who do the pinda sacrifice and carry out the family tradition. And he said, isn't there any way out of this? And he said, all right. Finally he said, all right, I agree to get married only if there's a girl with the same name as me, and she can't talk back to me at all. If she talks back to me, I'm out of here. Perfect arrangement, isn't it? It's like the opposite of the arrangement of Ganga Devi and Shantanu. So what happened is that he agreed, you know, and they agreed. But then there was an arrangement by the snakes that there was actually a snake girl. She was related to Vasuki, who was a good snake. Actually, not all these snakes are bad. They're extremely angry, as described, but Vasuki is actually a good guy. You know, some snakes are good, like Ananta, he's a good snake. We'll be reading about him in the next chapter. So that, you know, it's not all snakes are bad. I mean, some of them, even in this world, some of the snakes, they eat rats and protect the fields and everything like that. They're not all bad creatures. But one has to be careful of snakes, because there's many stories of snakes, like the Prabhupada discovered a cobra in his room one time, and the devotees were shaking, and then they killed the cobra, and Prabhupada said, you got to find his wife, because his wife's going to kill you if you don't, because she'll understand who killed her husband. Anyway, so many stories about snakes. So, anyway, that's what the verse is about. You know. So what happened is that there was this girl, Jarakaru, and this man, Jarakaru, was thinking, now I've got it made, no one's going to marry me, certainly I'm not going to find a girl by the name Jarakaru. And so he cries out at the last moment, This is the last chance if there's anybody to name Jared Caro, any girl. Otherwise, forget it. I'm staying as a brahmachari. And so Vasuki brought this girl out, and Jared Caro said, oh, my God, I almost made it. So he got married, and then one time she did something that upset him, that she woke him up when he was getting ready to do it, when it was the sanja. The Brahmins have to do certain sacrifices during the sanja. Sanja means when the sun is rising in the morning, the sun is setting in the evening, and the sun is overhead. It's three sanja. That means three of these sanja times. So she woke him up because he was sleeping when he was supposed to do a brahminical sacrifice, and he got angry and said, I'm leaving. And he left. And she said, but you're supposed to have a kid. And he said, Astika. And that means there will be. And that was the kid that they had. And that kid, you know, is a cross between a snake lady and a Brahmin man, became the one who stopped the sacrifice of Maharaj Janamanjaya. Maharaj Janamanjaya, as I mentioned before, is the son of Maharaj Parikshit. He was performing the Sarpa Yajna to kill all the snakes. Specifically, he wanted to kill Takshaka. And Takshaka was being protected by Indra, his friend. And so finally he gets ready. He has his Brahmins pronouncing the mantra, let Takshaka fall into the fire along with Indra. And Astika appears on the scene as a Brahmin and says to Maharaj Janamanjaya, I want one thing in charity. Please stop the sacrifice. And the snakes were saved. And that's the story about snakes. We'll go on to the next chapter. Anyway, it reminded me of the stories in the Mahabharata. So let's go on to chapter 25, which is entitled The Glories of Lord Ananta. So Lord Ananta is one of those Nagas. And he's good. He's Krishna. None different than Krishna, so we'll read about him in the chapter summary. In this chapter, Shukadeva Goswami describes Ananta, the source of Lord Shiva. Lord Ananta, whose body is completely spiritual, resides at the root of the planet Patala. He always lives in the core of Lord Shiva's heart, and he helps him destroy the universe. Ananta instructs Lord Shiva how to destroy the cosmos, and thus he is sometimes called Tamasi, or one who is in the mode of darkness. We should understand, he's not in the mode of darkness. He can propagate sometimes in the mode of darkness, but he's not in the mode of darkness, just like Lord Shiva. He is the original deity of material consciousness, and because he attracts all living entities, he is sometimes known as Sankarshan. It's not Sankarshan. You know, just teaching devotees the right pronunciation. It's Sankarshan. Got it? So next time you pronounce this name, don't say Sankarshan. That actually would be the Pali pronunciation of the word. But it's Sankarshan. Sankarshan. The entire material world is situated on the hoods of Lord Sankarshan. From his forehead, he transmits to Lord Shiva the power to destroy this material world, because Lord Sankarshan is an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Many devotees offer him prayers, and in the planetary system of Patala, all the suras, asuras, gandharvas, vidyadharas, and learned sages offer him their respectful obeisances. The Lord talks with them in a sweet voice. His bodily construction is completely spiritual and very beautiful. Anyone who hears about him from a proper spiritual master becomes free from all the material conceptions of life. Wow. The entire material energy is working according to the plans of Anantadeva. Therefore, we should regard him as the root cause of the material creation. There is no end to his strength, and no one can fully describe him even with countless mouths. Therefore, he is called Ananta, unlimited. Being very merciful towards all living entities, he has exhibited his spiritual body. Shukadeva Goswami describes the glories of Anantadeva to Maharaj Parikshit in this way. And so then we'll read the first verse here, and its purport. So first in Sanskrit, Shishubhavacha Tasha Mula Deshe Trimshad Yojana Sahasram Taraste Yavai Kala Vagavatas Tamasi Samakya Tananta Iti Sattvatiya Drastriya Drishyo Sankarshanam Aham Ityabhimana Lakshanam Yang Sankarshanam It Yachakshate. So, translation is, Sri Shukadev Goswami said to Maharaj Pariksit, my dear king, approximately 240,000 miles beneath the planet Patala lives another incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the expansion of Lord Vishnu, known as Lord Ananta or Lord Sankarshan. He is always in the transcendental position, but because he is worshipped by Lord Shiva, the deity of Tamagun or darkness, he is sometimes called Tamasi. Lord Ananta is the predominating deity Jai, Shishigora Natai, Shishipanchatatma. Lord Ananta is the predominating deity of the material mode of ignorance as well as the false ego of all conditioned souls. When a conditioned living being thinks I am the enjoyer and this world is meant to be enjoyed by me, this conception of life is dictated to him. Listen to this. Dictated to him by Sankarshan. Thus the mundane conditioned soul thinks himself the Supreme Lord. So purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivinanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. There is a class of men akin to Mayavadi philosophers who misinterpret the Aham Brahmasmi and Soham Vedic mantras to mean, I am the Supreme Brahman, and I am identical with the Lord. This kind of false conception in which one thinks himself the Supreme Enjoyer is a kind of illusion. It is described in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 5th canto, 5th chapter, text 8, Janashamo Hoyam Aham Vameti. As explained in the above verse, Lord Sankarshan is the predominating deity of this false conception. Lord Krishna confirms this in Bhagavad Gita in the 15th chapter, text 15. Sarvasya Chaham Radhik Sanavishto Matak Smritya Gyanama Ponam Cha. I'm seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart as Sankarshan. And when a demon thinks himself one with the Supreme Lord, the Lord keeps him in that darkness. Although such a demoniac living entity is only an insignificant part of the Supreme Lord, he forgets his true position and thinks he is the Supreme Lord. Because this forgetfulness is created by Sankarshan, he is sometimes called Tamasi. The name Tamasi does not indicate that he has a material body, he is always transcendental, but because he is the supreme, or is the super soul of Lord Shiva, who must perform tamasic activities, Sankarshan is sometimes called Tamasi. Talk a little bit about ontology here. That means what or who Sankarshan is. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ete chanta kalakpunsa, Krishna stu bhagavan swayam. And all the other incarnations and portions or whatever are his expansions. But what do we mean by his expansions? What we mean is that they're the same person, but acting in different ways, in manifesting a different, let's say, external form for the perception of his devotees or the perception of people who he is dealing with. And that's mentioned in the Brahma Samhita. Dvaita Chuta Nadi Vananta Rupa Madhyam Purana Purusham Naviyovanam Cha Vedeshu Durlaba Madurlaba Matma Bhakto Govindamani Purusham Tamaham Vajami. That the Lord is one. In other words, there's one God. We're not polytheistic. Sometimes we are accused, or Hindus are accused, of being polytheistic. Some Hindus may be polytheistic. But we are monotheistic. It means one God. Ekali Shri Krishna Arasabda Vritya. And this one God, he can manifest his original transcendental body in any way he wants. Just like, let us take Lord Jagannath, for example. Everybody is amazed when they see for the first time Lord Jagannath, because, and they see devotees worshiping, and says, what is this? You know, big eyes. Nobody, you know, where have you ever seen someone with such big eyes with no arms or arms like this? Or, you know, Subhadra has no arms. That's what he is. I said, gee, what's wrong? I mean, they're thinking, well, this is like that Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom or something like that. Any of you seen that movie? You know, this is weird. But that's Krishna. And that's Balarama. And Balarama is also Sankarshan, Ananta. And that's the nature of a spiritual body. Because Krishna has a spirit such as Ananda Vigraha. And with that spiritual body, even though he doesn't change his body like we do, I mean, if we, in some future birth, look like a cockroach or a dog or whatever, that's a change of body. It's not that we're in the same body. And when you go back to the spiritual world, you got to change your body. Even if you go to the heavenly planets, you got to change your body, right? And there was one king, Trishanku. Anyone know this story? He wanted to go to the heavenly planets in his same body. And then what happened is that his spiritual master, Vasishtha, he said, no way. And Vasishtha's son said, no way, and they cursed him to become a chandala. This is a story in the Bhagavatam. And finally, Viswamitra had him flying up through the air, and the demigods said, no way. And they sent him back, and he was bouncing back and forth. Finally, Viswamitra Muni had to create a duplicate heaven, you know, so that he could attempt to enjoy hanging upside down. Anyway, that story was in the Bhagavatam. So, but Krishna, he never changes his body. A Jopi son, like this Krishna is described, Avyatma Bhutanami Sarupi Sam Praktim Swamidishtaya Sambhavami Atmamaya. That's from Bhagavad Gita. But his body, transcendental body, eternity, blisses, and knowledge, he can have himself look any way he wants. He can look like a half man, half lion. He can look like whatever, you know, like a fish. Matsya avatar, or tortoise. He doesn't have to change his body to do that. So, in this particular case, Krishna expands, and each one of these forms is the same as Krishna simultaneously, and his first expansion, of course, is Balaram. And Balaram is also known as Sankarshan. Did you know that? But Balaram is known as Sankarshan for a little bit different reason than the Sankarshan. Lord Ananta is known as Sankarshan. Balaram is known as Sankarshan because the word Sankarshan actually is composed of two words, Sang and Karshati. Sang means together, just like we do a little something on the street, it's called Sankirtan, right? You've heard of that before? No. Okay. Sankirtan means we all gather together and chant Hare Krishna. Or it also means complete chanting, absorbed chanting, the two different things. And Karshati in Sanskrit means to attract. It's like a tractor. What is that? Same. Like the word in English, attractor. A tractor pulls something, attracts something. Anyway, so it means Karshati. To attract. And actually that's etymologically similar to the word Krishna. Like for Krishna. Actually the word Krishna is defined in different ways. But it basically means the most attractive person who negates your material. Actually there's different ways of understanding the word Krishna. It can mean the supreme attractive who negates your material attraction, Krishna. It also could mean he who attracts you and gives you Ananda. You know, Na can also stand for Ananda. I'm not speculating. This is what the Acharyas have said. Don't accuse me of committing the offense I'm chanting during a mundane interpretation. But this is what the Acharya states. So Karshati, that's the original. So Sankarshan means, in the case of Lord Balaram, he who attracts Krishna's, like Vasudeva's family, with Nanda Maharaj's family, he brings them together. Also, different dynasties together. That's why Balaram is called Sankarshan, because Balaram had his childhood activities in Vrindavan. He was sent to Vrindavan, as we know. He was with Krishna. But everybody knew he was the son of Vasudeva by Rohini. Everybody knows that? No. Anyway, that's Balaram. And so Balaram brought these two dynasties together. Of course, Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva were already brothers. Did you know that? And by different wives. Different mothers, sorry, not different wives. Different mothers. One was a Vaishya mother, the other one was a Kshatriya mother. So that's one reason why Balaram is called Sankarshan. And so here we find a different. So anyway, Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna. And then from Balaram comes the what's called the Chaturvyuha expansions. Chaturvyuha, Chatur means four, like Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Sankarshan, sorry, Prajuna, and Aniruddha. So there's different Sankarshans who appear in the quadruple expansions, but this particular Sankarshan here is actually not only situated below Rasatala, but he's situated in everyone's heart. And as Prabhupada quotes from 15:15 here, he's given you intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness according to your desires. It's not that he's just giving it to you like that, you know, he's flipping a coin or something like that. He's saying, you know, should I make this person stupid or should I make this person intelligent? I think he should be stupid. Maya. No, because the soul has desires and Krishna is reciprocating with those desires. And if you desire to forget Krishna, Krishna will give you nice intelligence how to forget him. Asankarshan will give you nice intelligence how to forget him. In other words, if you want to be a good scientist and come up with all these atheistic theories, how life comes from matter, which is kind of stupid. Actually, if you examine these theories, because Ananta's, he is a scientist, you can ask him. Ananta. So you're the same as Sankarshan, anyway. So, he's an incarnation. So, just like you hear about any of these theories, they're really ridiculous. I mean, anybody with half a brain would know that life cannot come from matter. Because life, which is organic, organic, and matter is generally inorganic. Anyway, so you have all these carbon compounds. You studied about this, didn't you?
Not so much chemistry.
I did. Organic chemistry I studied. So you have organic chemistry. In other words, the organic means like something that's life. But organic chemistry is based on carbon compounds. Right? At least on the Earth planet. In different planets, they may have life based on silicone or something. But so these compounds are so complex. The molecules are so complex that there's no way they could have come about by chance. I'll give you one particular example of this. Everyone's heard of DNA? DNA are these strands. You know, you have these strands. Your hereditary material. Anyway, so these strands. So what happens when you have different strands and they're all hanging around with each other? Does anyone know what happens? They get tangled, don't they? No? Do you ever have headphones? You know, I have headphones in my beatbag. And somehow or other, they get tangled. I never went in there and tangled them or something like that. You know, wires? Isn't it true? When you deal with wires, You could just leave them there and they get tangled by themselves. They have a life unto their, in their cell, you know, consciousness or something. So anyway, these strands of DNA, they get, of the genes, they get tangled. And so to untangle them, they have to break and be put back together. So there's one molecule that has enough brains to do it. Did you know about this, Ananda? No. Half your life is finished. All right, so anyway, you're learning something. So there's one incredibly complex molecule. Some of these molecules are more complex than the whole city of Ljubljana. And it pulls it apart and stitches them back together. And what is a molecule? A molecule is just like a bunch of atoms. And organic chemistry is so interesting that you have like these really super complex molecules. And if you change the shape, you know, there's right-handed, left-handed, you change the shape of them, it has actually no effect or has the opposite effect. And the scientists are thinking it happened by chance. You know, Prabhupada would say, all right, if it happened by chance, let them create life. They still haven't done it. They say they know how life came about by chance, but even utilizing all their intelligence and scientific instruments, they can't create life. And so, it's a no-brainer. If you look at, this is the proof of God, you know, by the observation of the cosmos. If you look at the, everything, you know, a simple molecule couldn't have come about by chance. One of my godbrothers, Sataputta Prabhu, analyzed this scientifically or mathematically using information theory. You know about this. So, and he showed that it was impossible, virtually impossible for this thing to come about. So anyway, but still there's these big scientists who are saying all these things. And in order to, let's say, stick with their scientific theories of evolution and everything like that, they have to throw out all this obvious evidence. I mean, even, there's another godbrother of mine, Drew Takarma, who came up with this book, The Hidden History of the Human Race. And he shows how there's all this evidence that human beings have been existing for millions of years, but the scientists, they just throw all that out of their not all the scientists, many of them, because of their stupidity, what he calls a knowledge filter. And that's Ananta who's just giving them impure, avashuddha buddhya, who giving them impure intelligence so they can remain in Maya. And why does it want them to remain in Maya? Because that's their desire. That's their free will. And that's the function. So, in other words, if we want to get out of Maya, we have to have the right desire. It's not simply you chant Hare Krishna, but you have to have the right desire when you're chanting Hare Krishna and pray to Ananta and pray to your spiritual master and pray to Krishna. And then, because of that desire of wanting to be Krishna conscious, then you'll get the correct intelligence. Dami Buddhi Yogam Tam. What is this? Same thing. Right? Nobody else that verse? No? Teshnam Sata Yutanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam The Dami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayanti Te. To those who are devoted to me, Krishna says, I give the intelligence by which they can come to me. So that's our secret in Krishna consciousness. If you want Krishna, you'll get Krishna. If you want Maya, you'll get Maya. You want to be an illusion? Here, welcome to it. And that's Ananta's or Sankarsana's function. That's his mercy. So any questions or comments about any of these points? Questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues? No? No? Everyone's so quiet this morning. Yes.
So most people desire to be Maya.
Yeah, most people desire to forget Krishna, Krishna Bhavi Mukha. And so Krishna's fulfilling that. Like, they want to imitate Krishna, so we get an opportunity to try to do that. Because unless we were put into illusion, how could we forget Krishna? How would there be free will? Krishna gives facility. It's fulfilling the desires of the living entities since time immemorial. So that's Krishna. You may say that's cruel. He should force us to remember him, but then we wouldn't have free will. At any point, we can choose not to serve Krishna. And then Krishna will give us facility. Even as devotees, of course, we should think we're aspiring devotees, we shouldn't think we're devotees. But anyway, but even as members of the Krishna Conscious Movement, if you have the wrong desire, then Krishna said, okay, let him try. Give him facility. And after a while you think, well, it didn't work out. Krishna, give me the right desire now. So it actually functions on the basis of Krishna reciprocates on the basis of our desire. Yayatamam prapachante tam sataiva bhajamyam. We have to be careful of what we want. So, any other questions? Yes?
So, atomic particles also have intelligence because they know how many electrons they need to change. So this is because of Paramatma.
Paramatma is in each atom.
In each, so it's also intelligent.
Yeah, he's the source of energy in the atom. And, of course, the living entity who is accompanying Paramatma in the atom is in a dormant state. He's not really that conscious. Just like somewhat like a tree is not that conscious, a similar type of consciousness or lack of consciousness. But Krishna, can you imagine a molecule that knows how to put together strings?
Say that the atheist theory is like that you will find a computer in a desert with Linux on it installed and everything in, and it happened by chance.
Yeah.
It's possible.
And a molecule that puts together strings is far more complex than a computer with Linux in it, or even Windows.
Yeah. But all these scientists that they want to create life, if they create it, this only proves that it needs an intelligent design to put something up.
Yeah.
So they would hit themselves like this.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, even if they could create life, which they can.
They create a computer life, so this is like one thing.
Oh, artificial intelligence.
Yeah, so to create artificial intelligence, you need intelligence to create in the person.
Yes.
So it's kind of...
But artificial intelligence, there's no consciousness.
There's
no consciousness.
Zero one.
Yeah, I have an artificial intelligence device in my house. I think I mentioned this before. It's called Google Mini.
Aye.
And I talk to her. Even a sannyasi, I'm allowed to have a female artificial intelligence. So I said, what's the weather? What's this? One time I was joking and I said, how are you feeling today? And she said, very good, thank you for asking. I care for you too. But I know there's no consciousness behind it.
Chinese paradox.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like... So, but what they've created is not one millionth as complex as one cell in your body. I mean, the scientists can't even understand one cell in your body. How did that come about by chance? I mean, it's a no-brainer. That means it's obvious that... It was designed. That someone designed everything. So, any other questions or comments? None to them. Sankarsha? No? Okay, time for Prashanam. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.